what we're going to do for today. I went through in my mind several things that we did this year, and I want to run through to you. Let's give it, Brother Donald. Some of the stuff that we studied, and the Lord impressed in my heart a strong desire to remind you of some of His promises for your family. Some of you are consumed by your family. Some of you are getting old because of family. Some of you are wrinkling because of family. Some of you can even sleep and are having ulcers because of family. So I asked the Lord, can I finish something that I started 3 weeks ago? I said, no, I'll talk to you later. And when I came to my office and I sat down, it was downloaded in my soft drive. These are scriptures that you have just got in your hands. So let's go over some of, what's the title today, preacher? God's promises for your family. And you know that I don't like to give away my notes. But the boss said that I'm supposed to print it so you can have it on your records. As a Bible-believing person, you are promised the salvation of your entire family, including your children. Say amen.
Amen.
And you know, I know that sometimes it's so difficult for us to believe on the promise of God. I mean, you've been praying for that child. You've been praying for that spouse. You've been praying for that grandchild, that niece or nephew. And seems like the more you pray, the worse it gets. How do I go about this? I will believe in the Word of God because the Word of God does not change. So let's go to Acts 16:31 first. Just to kickstart by reminding you that your entire household will be saved.
Amen.
They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and along. Say, thank you, Jesus, for the salvation of my family. It is a promise that God has made that when you are walking in righteousness, when you are serving God, they will come. And I say, they will come, whether it's by love or by pain, they will come. This is not an option. This is not an option. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved along with everyone in your household. So that's why you and I should always say, I thank God for the salvation of my family. Huh? Maybe if it's not manifested yet, we still say, I thank God for the salvation of my family. No matter how ugly the picture may look, I thank God for the salvation of my family. Now, I don't know what the Backslider translation did because I didn't check. Can you give me that, brother? They said, put your entire trust in the Master Jesus. Then you will live as you were meant to live. Don't you like that? Everyone in your household is included. So never allow the circumstances derail you from your faith about your loved ones. Well, but I want them to come to church right now. You don't make that decision. Sometimes you cannot even make a decision about yourself, let alone somebody else's. Well, I want to have them plunge and go to church with my family. Well, you may have that pleasure yet. But if it's not happening yet, don't give up your faith. Don't give up your hope. Because God promised that everybody, everyone in your household is included on the promise of salvation. Say amen.
Amen.
So I put it in numbers over there. Number one promise that God makes to your family. He promised to bless your home. Tell your neighbor, we've got a blessed home. What is it in the Bible? Proverbs 3:33, and I even printed it out there if you don't have those versions. But let's look in the Bible here. Let's read it. The Lord curses is on the house of the wicked, but he bless the home of the righteous. Come on, turn around and say, I've got a blessed home. And so do you. The Lord has promised to bless your home. Say amen.
Amen.
It's on the book. The Lord has promised to bless your home. The Lord has also promised to teach your children and give peace to each one of them. Listen to Psalms 8, verse 2. Read it with me. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. It is God who is teaching our children and infants about his strength. You know, many times parents fail, God still pitches in. Are you with me? I never, ever, 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 ever had anybody while I was growing up coming to me and telling me about the Word of God and telling me about my God. And yet God picked me up. God picked me up. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength. I'm telling you today about the strength of God because God himself taught me about his strength. And this is why I love God so much. You know, sometimes I think that in our society today, a child to be born in a Christian home is a disservice to them to a certain extent. Because the lousy parents of today bring children into this world, and they're not concerned about teaching those children, molding those children to follow God. They are bringing children in, but they are busy on their career, with their career. And they are busy buying big homes, big and nice cars. What about the children? Just put some DVD for them to watch. Give them some video game. And then later down the road, they are wondering why the kids don't want to know about Jesus. Are you with me? Now, brother, what does the Backslider translation says on this? I didn't check. Maybe it's nothing good, but nursing infants gurgle curses about you. Wow. Toddlers shout the songs. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? God will teach not only the infants, but the toddlers about his strength. So God has promised to teach your children. God has also promised to give peace to your children. Listen to Isaiah 54:13. Read it with me. All your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children. Tell your neighbor, your children are taught by God. So we better start something, all right? There you go. Now, that doesn't exempt us to get our fat butts on the chair watching TV while we're supposed to be teaching the children. Tell them the word. Teach them the word, and God will pick up from there. Your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace. Give me the backslide translation there, brother. All your children. Huh? Isn't that great? There's another promise that God makes for you and your family. God promised that your house will stand firm. Proverbs 12:7. Read it with me. Wicked men are overthrown and are no more. Tell your neighbor, your house will stand firm. No matter how hard the tempest may be in life, no matter how tough things are out there, God promised you and I, righteous people, that our houses, our homes, will stand firm. You know, I like that next one here. He promised your children and grandchildren will thrive in his presence. I love that. Let's start with Psalms 102:28. Watch this. Let's read it. The children of your people, their children's children, isn't that something? So as a righteous person, God promised that your children will be secure and your grandchildren will thrive. Now listen to the Message Bible. Watch this. Your servant's children will have a good place to live, and their children will be at home with you. God has promised to bless your children and your grandchildren with security. Say amen.
Amen.
Well, it gets better. Huh? Let's go a little bit further to Psalms. Now, let's go to the next point. He promised that your children will be successful and blessed everywhere they go. I mean, if you would have just stopped and think about this, God promised that your children will be successful everywhere where they go when you make the God of Israel your God. Now let's go to that scripture. Let's read it. Their children will be successful
everywhere.
An entire generation of godly people. Tell your neighbor, thank God for your wealthy children. It's what the book says there. Huh? Well, maybe we should go around and say, well, thank God for successful children. Wherever they go, God's going to bless them. God's going to bless them. It's on the book. And you know, it gets better than this. Brother Preacher, give them Psalms 115:14. Watch this. May the Lord. Come on, third graders, let's read it. May the Lord richly bless God has promised to bless not only you, but your children too. Therefore, there's no reason for you and I to be mumbling around, scared, afraid, and the whole nine yards. There is a promise of God to richly bless both you and your children.
Amen.
This is why, folks, I can't help. How are you doing? I'm blessed. And then I top off, highly favored too. Because it's the promise on the book. Is that it? No. Six. When you and I obey God, huh? We and our children will do well. Deuteronomy 12:28. Watch this. Here's the key. Obedience. Be careful to obey all my commands. Why? God promises that you and your children will do well in life. When we make the choice to obey the word of God. God has promised you and I that our children, number 7, will serve Him. That's not negotiable here. Watch this. Our children, future generations, tell your neighbor, your children will serve Him. No matter how ugly it looks right now, they will serve Him. Our children will also serve Him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. You know, it brings me such a joy to my heart. One of my grandchildren came to the mother and said, "Mom, I want a tablet." The mother said, "Go talk to Jesus." And this grandchild went to her room, said, "Jesus, I want a tablet for my birthday." I was praying. I didn't even know about anything like this. And on our conversation, Jesus took a break and said, "By the way, I want you to buy a tablet for one of your grandchildren." I said, "A tablet? A tablet? I don't have any grandchildren that can handle a tablet." And he said, "I want you to buy a tablet for this grandchild." And I'm thinking, are you serious? I was even told what kind of tablet to buy. I'll confess to you, I was bugged by that. So I asked my wife, "Do you know if our granddaughter wants anything for her birthday?" "No." "Let's call the mother." So my wife called the mother. "Has your daughter manifested any desire to have anything for the birthday?" Mama says, "She wants a tablet." You with me, right?
Amen.
And then the wife passed the phone. "What kind of tablet?" When she spelled it, I checked the note Jesus gave me. The exact tablet. That child went to Jesus and told Jesus, "I want a tablet." Our children will also serve Him. And future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. Are you with me here?
Amen.
Maybe you should tell your neighbor. Your children will serve Him.
They don't have a choice.
Amen. It is promises like this that causes my heart to rejoice, brothers and sisters. Another promise that God's made for you and I is, our children will never beg for bread. Instead, they will be a blessing. Or they are a blessing. Tell them that your children will never beg for bread.
Your children will never beg for bread.
Because they are a blessing. When is that on the Bible, preacher? Here we go. Once I was young, and now I'm old. Yet, come on, turn around and say, "Your children are a blessing." It's the promise in the Word of God, and they will never beg for bread. And And I'm taking God on that one. Amen. What does the backslider translation says, brother? I never checked that. I got so excited with this thing here. I once was young, now I am a gray beard. Not once have I seen an abandoned believer, my Lord, or his kids out roaming the streets. Isn't that a powerful promise?
Amen.
These are many of the promises that God made to you. On point 7, I said that they will serve God. On point 9, I'm proving to you that your children will live in God's presence. Tell your neighbor, your children will live in God's presence. They have no other choice. Let's read it. The children of your people
will live in security. The children will thrive in your presence.
Your children will live in God's presence. And you know, God has some persuasive way to do it. So when God starts weeping, back off. Let God be God. Let God be God. Let God be God. I knew a sister when I was younger that had a knucklehead son. And this fellow grew up in church. I call them church mice. But come 12, they start drifting. By the time this young fellow is 18, he wouldn't come to church anymore. Mom is crying. The more mom asks, the worse it got. Then the fella got hit by a bad disease. Bad disease. Mama come to church, ask, can you go to hospital and pray for my son? I said, no. What? He used to be a member here. And so what? What? Am I hearing right? Yes. I am not going to go. He's supposed to call me. Then I will decide if I go. Now, no mother wants to hear that from a preacher, you know. So finally, in total desperation, the mother asks, are you okay, preacher? I said, yes, I am. I'm not recognizing you. I said, God is dealing with that child, and you have your butt in the middle of it. So back off. Let God deal with the child. What do I do? Just pray at home. Lord, get a hold of him. Get a hold of him. What if he die? God will take him home. I don't want him to die. You don't have that choice. You can collect call every preacher in town and everybody go to him, he can still die. I could go right now, pray for him, and he die next day. In disbelief, the mother left. When she got to the hospital, son asked, did you tell the pastor I'm sick? Yes. Is he coming? No. What? Why? He said, you have to call. Why? I don't know. So the fellow called. Pastor? Yes. This is Brother Periquito Perez. Yes, Brother Perez, how are you? Obviously, I'm not doing good. Why not? I'm in a hospital. You know. So I want to hear from you. You say you're not doing good? No. Did you already reconcile with the Lord? I did that many times. No, you didn't. You don't reconcile many times. You're playing with words. Now let me translate for you the word reconciliation. So I went on and I showed him. Repentance in Hebrew is teshuva. And what is that? Teshuva means you're walking west And when teshuva happens, you turn around and you start walking east. That's teshuva. That's repentance. And obviously you haven't done that yet. Can you pray for me? No. Why? I'm not going to pray for you to get good, get well, and go back to the same muddy life you're doing, living. So now, if you decide to turn your heart around and serve God, then I might pray for you. Why did you say I might pray? Because my prayer will have a condition. What are you talking about? I'm going to pray, Lord, heal him. But if he decides to go back in the same nonsense life, cause him to be twice sick than what he is now. What? He hung up. 2 days later, guy called. I'm ready. For what? To reconcile. Good. Now tell God that. How do I do that? I don't know. You say you're ready to reconcile, right? So obviously there are things that you got to repent and tell God that you're ready to come back home. Why you make things difficult? You got to mean what you say before God. And that young man prayed. 30 years has gone. He never departed church again. The children of your people who live in security, they will thrive in your presence. Tell your neighbor, your children will live in God's presence. Plain and simple. And if God is dealing with them, butt out. Let God handle them. God knows better than we do. Ooh, let me speed up here. Last one. You and I have not brought children into this world to be slaves. Because God promised that the children of the godly will go free. Here's the word. Let's read it. Evil people will surely be punished. But the children of the godly. Tell a neighbor, I declare that your children will go free. Satan cannot hold them. Your children will go free. So what's the conclusion of all this? It brings me back to Proverbs, the very first scriptures that I gave you today. Y'all remember that? Proverbs 10:24. All these promises will be fulfilled in the life of your children for one simple reason. Let's read it. The fears of the wicked will be fulfilled. Now give me that on the New King James or the King James, any one of them. The fear of the wicked will come upon him. But the desire of the righteous will be granted. May God grant you on this last day of 2013 that desire that you've been hanging to in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.